first epistle of Timothy, and we'll begin reading at verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved, have turned aside into vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, look according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is committed unto my trust. Praise be unto God for the reading and hearing of His precious and eternal word. Some people think it doesn't matter what you believe. And some people say you shouldn't preach doctrine. Well, if you don't preach doctrine, you don't have anything to preach. Because the word doctrine means teaching. So what will you teach if you don't have a teaching? So when we look at the Word of God and what the apostles were wrestling with in their day and time, they were wrestling with the idea that people were changing the message that Jesus and they had brought to the church. And it disturbed them. If you read the Apostle John, the Apostle Jude, you read Paul writing to Timothy, here in this case, they're upset because the gospel, in fact, is they're very emphatic about it. If a man come to your house bearing any other gospel, save that which is already preached to you, what does it say do about it? Receive him not into your house, nor bid him Godspeed. But I've discovered that there's more ways of getting into people's houses than knocking on the doors. You're familiar with the boys from Salt Lake City, the people from the Watchtower Society knocking on your door and bringing a teaching. But there are other ways they come in, and they come in by the way of the media. And there's dozens, maybe more than dozens, of teachers that are teaching all over the country today. And people are listening to them. And people are being influenced by them. And their intention is to change you to who they are, to what they believe and what they're saying. My whole purpose in this message is to emphasize that you need to be careful what you eat and be careful you have a knowledge of the Word of God. Now, I have to tell you something. And this is not a sermon I'd preach on Sunday morning, but this is a teaching I would do on Wednesday evening. I don't mean to preach against anybody. I don't mean to hurt anybody. I don't mean to tear down any ministry. But it disturbs me to see people being influenced and not knowing that they are. And you say, well, that's pretty tough, but not know they are. I've been there and done that. I watched Herbert Armstrong for years and listened to him mainly on the radio. And I read the Plain Truth magazine. And people left the church and joined up with Herbert Armstrong. And I listened to him. I was excited because he talked about prophecy and talked about the end time, and I was certainly interested in that. Thing of it was, I never realized for the longest time what the man believed. I didn't realize. You know, I read it. He set 1975 as the date that the Lord was coming back again. Well, that's always a mistake. Anyone who does that's mistaken. And a lot of these people are not evil by intention. They're mistaken. I have to tell you about the Bible. The Bible is the revelation of God. It doesn't need a revelation of the revelation. The Bible is the plan of God as given in the Bible is so plain that a fool, yea, though a wayfaring fool, should not err therein. And you say, well, there's so much in the Bible we don't understand. Mostly because of what we read into it. Mostly because we do not read it with an open mind the way it's written. We need to be like the people at Berea. When Paul preached to them, instead of fighting him, they searched the Scriptures to see whether these things be so. And in searching the Scriptures, they came to the truth. There was a great movement that came in the early church called the Gnostics, and it means knowledge. And the Gnostics came saying, well, all this salvation and everything you've got's good, but you're not perfected till you get the knowledge. So this is what happens. Teachers come to your door, and they tell you, I come with a greater knowledge of the Word of God. I've come to explain to you what God really means. And then they also, if you listen long enough, will tell you they are the only ones that can tell you that. So there are all kinds of voices. I want to talk about a specific one this evening. And I don't mean to pick on him. I think he's probably a good old man. I'm talking about Arthur Murray. His name? The Shepherd's Chapel. How many of you have seen the Shepherd's Chapel on television? Okay. He teaches 1 hour every day on television. On 200 television stations across America. Now that means that he's covering, he and his son who teaches with him, that means he's covering most of the United States and is in most of the homes in the United States. And I've discovered any number of people in the area, people who don't go to church. That's their church. They send their tithes, their offerings there, and they listen to the teaching he says. And he sends out pamphlets. And whole churches use his teaching as the basis of what they're doing. You say, well, what does he believe? Well, when I first heard him, I thought, this is a sweet old man. He flies the American flag. He's a Marine veteran. That always gets me going. He's patriotic. And he says some good things. Now, I have to say this about Mr. Murray, or Reverend Murray. I don't think he really cares to be called that. He believes the Bible. He accepts the Bible, the King James Version specifically, by the way, as the Word of God. And he believes in God. And he believes in living a decent and clean life. And I have to give him that. But the more I listen, the more often I got tripped up. So I decided, you know, this is a man that's on 200 television stations teaching every day, becomes a major force in getting out word to people. And how is it influencing them? And are they being taught the truth? You know, sometimes we just take what's kind of like skimming off the cream. We just skim off and go on and we don't think about it. Well, what happens when you get down to it and start listening? Because I kept going, now wait a minute. And I go a little bit, I snap my finger and say, wait a minute. And a little bit later I'd say, wait a minute. Well, when I got down to it, I discovered several things. First of all, he's a modalist. You say, what does that mean? Well, he doesn't believe in a Trinity. He doesn't believe that God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit are separate persons. He only believes there's one God. You say, well, that's cool. The Bible says there's only one God. He only believes there's one God at one time. He believes that God manifests himself as the Father at one time, and God manifests himself as the Son at another time, and God manifests himself as the Holy Spirit at another time. In other words, God was in the Father mode, and then another time God's in the Son mode, and then another time God's in the Spirit mode. But never all three at once. You see, if they're all three at once, then he's got a problem. It's called a modalist. That's typically oneness Pentecostalism, really, to tell you the truth. And that would be exactly what the United Pentecostal Church would say, that God was fulfilling the office of Father, and later He was fulfilling the office of Son, and later He was fulfilling the office of the Holy Ghost. True, He fills all those, but they don't want to say the person. Well, I can tell you, God our Father is a person. God the Son is a person. God the Holy Spirit is a person. And they're always called Him. None of this feminist stuff about calling God she. They're always called Him. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means, can there be a Father, Son, and Holy Ghost going on simultaneously? I can prove to you there are. I can prove to you that God our Father is sitting on the throne and Jesus Christ is standing before the throne making intercession for us, and God the Holy Ghost is filling the whole universe. They are one. Amen. Positively, all the way. But they are not identical. In fact, I can show you in the Bible where the Father knew something that the Son did not know. And you say, well, how can that be? Well, because Jesus said, no one knows the day or the hour when the Son is coming back. Not the angels, not anyone on earth, nor the Son. So there was a time in space that the Father knew something that the Son did not know. So when Mr. Murray says that God is just fulfilling different offices, he has some answering to do. So I can't accept the idea of God is in the Father mode, and then He's in the Son mode, and then He's in the Holy Spirit mode. What about when Jesus was baptized? He was in all three modes at the same time, evidently, wasn't He? Because the Spirit was coming down like a dove. Jesus Himself was obviously in the water, and you got to believe that's God speaking out of heaven. And he what does He say? Actually, when people say they don't believe in a Trinity, I don't describe God as the ever-blessed Trinity because the Bible doesn't describe Him that way. I only want to use the terminology the Bible uses. If it was important for us to use that terminology, then I think He would have said that to us. On the other hand, I don't want to deny that when Jesus was hanging on the cross and when Jesus died and was in the tomb, that there was not God Almighty sitting on the throne in heaven. And I don't want to deny that when that was true, that the Holy Spirit was not filling the universe. Because I can tell you, if the Holy Spirit did not fill the universe, everything would implode. It would just fall apart. In Him we live and move and have our being. All things consist by Him. And by the way, it's talking about Jesus when He said that. And how does that happen? It happens because of the Holy Spirit. You can't explain, and I can't explain, and no one else, not the Pope or anyone else, can explain the eternal God. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. So when I see Mr. Murray preaching modalism, that God, you know, are you telling me when Jesus was in the womb of the Virgin Mary, there wasn't anybody in heaven? There wasn't any God in heaven? I don't think so. Telling me when Jesus was standing in the water, there wasn't anybody up there. He was throwing His voice up so He'd come down and say, this is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I don't think so. I would have been killed preaching this here a few years ago. You know what? I had to come to the conclusion that I have to be honest with the book. I don't care what tradition or who it is. I have to say what the book says. And the book says, somebody say, oh, the book never says there's three. The book absolutely says there's three. These three are one. And it says, you know, it goes to great lengths to talk about it. He doesn't believe in eternal hell. Mr. Murray does not believe in an eternal hell. He believes in annihilation, that everybody that's not saved is they just don't exist. If you die and you're not saved, you don't exist. Well, I think the rich man in hell would have liked to have got a hold of that doctrine. I think he would have liked to have partaken of it, but it didn't happen that way. He doesn't believe in an eternal hell. He says there's no scripture for that. Well, my Bible talks about the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. that, you know, where the worm doth not and the fire is not quenched, and goes on and on and on and on. It disturbs me that he believes that the rapture, the doctrine of the rapture, is of the devil. Mr. Murray believes that the church will not be raptured, and he says that never was believed until 1830, but that isn't true. The doctrine of the, we didn't call it the doctrine of the rapture, and I try not to use that term. Why do I try not to use that term? Same reason I don't use the word Trinity, not in the Bible. But it says we're caught away. It says the church will be caught up. And of course, the Greek word for caught up is rapture. And that's how we get the word, because if you read it in Greek, it comes out rapture, but we don't read it in the English Bible. So I say the catching away of the church. We try to talk about the catching away of the church. He says that's a doctrine of the devil. That scares me blind for people him to say things like that, because that cannot be. He also denies the physical resurrection of believers. He says we will not be literally, bodily, physically raised from the dead. He says that we'll just be a spirit body that comes out. Well, it does say we'll have a spiritual body, but it also talks about our bodies will be like what? Like his own glorious body. And how was his body? It had flesh and it had bones. He said, a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. See, this is what the Jehovah's Witnesses deny, that the Jesus who came out of the tomb was not the Jesus that came down off of the cross and was put in the tomb. The Jesus that came out of the tomb is a spirit. Well, that's not true. The Jesus that walked out of that tomb was the Jesus they put in that tomb 3 days beforehand. He had nail prints in his hand, nail prints in his feet, and a spear print in his side. He was one and the same with who he was. Now, the Shepherd's Chapel, what it's called, also teaches kosher laws and keeping of the feast of the Old Testament. Now, that means that they keep the Passover, and keep the Feast of the New Moon, and all those things. And they do not eat pork, and they sadly do not eat shrimp and oysters, but they follow the dietary laws of the Old Testament. They're welcome to follow that, but it doesn't have a particle to do with salvation. Whether you're saved or not has nothing to do with whether you eat oysters or pig or not. And I don't know if any of us could go to heaven in here tonight if you couldn't eat ham. Brother Sheffy went to Dr. Carr's mother's once, and he had got in a kick about this, and he said, she had ham. And he said, oh, Sister Carr, I promised the Lord I wouldn't eat pork anymore. She said, well, I'm sorry, Brother Sheffy, but that's all I've got. And he sat there a little bit, and he said, well, I didn't promise him I wouldn't eat the gravy. Well, what set me into this is so much of the teachings of Mr. Murray mirrors the teachings of Herbert Armstrong and of the Mormon Church, even though he would deny the Mormon Church entirely. Now, here's a real bad one. He teaches emphatically the doctrine of the serpent seed. Now, do you know what the doctrine of the serpent seed is? They teach, and of course, we have a Pentecostal church in Montgomery County that teaches that very strongly, and they teach that the serpent was a man-like creature, and when he came into the Garden of Eden, he seduced Mother Eve, that she and Adam had never had sex. And he seduced her and taught her about sex and impregnated her. And that the first baby born in the world, Cain, was a child of the devil. That Satan fathered this child by Eve, and the first child was a child of the devil. And all of the lost people, the bad people, and the ones that crucified Jesus Christ, descended from Cain. This is a terrible form of predestination. And, of course, it's been preached around the country by William Branham and other people, and he was a Pentecostal preacher. But they preach that all the people that descended from Cain are of the devil and will be lost. And all the people that descended from Seth. The fact is, they teach two Adams. That God created Adam and Eve and they messed up in the garden and sinned. And so then, in the second chapter of Genesis, I'll get it in a minute, he created another Adam. And that's the Adam that all the righteous people came from. Well, there's not a shred of scripture to rely on for that. Not anything anywhere that relies on that. They also teach that angels, whom the Bible says are neither married nor given in marriage or anything like that, he teaches emphatically that angels came down from heaven and impregnated human women on this earth and caused the evil seed of the devil to be in the earth. This is kind of like a religious form of Rosemary's Baby or something like that. When you know, it's amazing how people sit and listen to all of these things being taught, but they don't realize exactly what they're saying because they don't have a knowledge of the Word of God. Now, he also teaches pre-existence. You say, what does that mean? Well, he teaches that we lived as spirit children of God in heaven before we came down here. And that the new birth to be born again is for the spirit that's in the other world to come and be put into a baby and or a body and live in this world. Now, that's purely Mormon doctrine because the Mormon church is real big on teaching pre-existence. We lived with our Heavenly Father and Mother, they say, in heaven before we came down, and we come down here and get a body, and we live here. And one of the elders in the Mormon church told me one day, holding a new baby, said, I just love new babies. And I said, well, tell you the truth, I do too. And he said, yes, but they're so fresh from the presence of our Heavenly Father. They just got here from heaven, and their little spirits are so pure and so clean. That's a nice thought, but it's not true. It's a nice thought, but it's not true. And Mr. Murray teaches that we existed before we came here, and that is in our pre-existence, we were spirit children, and we came here in to get in bodies, and we live in bodies. That's called being born again. He also condemns Easter and Christmas, which would hit most of us. He doesn't believe in keeping the Christian holidays that we keep. He also teaches, this was a pure Armstrong thing that Armstrong's own church has repudiated, does not teach. He teaches that the descendants of Israel, the 10 lost tribes of Israel, you know who they are? The United States and Great Britain. We are the lost tribes of Israel. You say, where did that come from in the Bible? Well, that's a good question. You really have to stretch the Scripture, dig around in the Scripture, and pull things out of context to come up with the idea that the United States and Great Britain are the lost tribes of Israel. Herbert Armstrong wrote books. His main book was The United States and the British Commonwealth of Nations, in history, and he said, well, like the people in Denmark, they were the Danites. They were the tribe of Dan. He says that stone, if you notice the throne where they crowned the queen or king of England, has a stone under it with rings in it that you could carry it. And he said, that stone, you remember it said that stone followed him through the wilderness, and that stone was Christ? That's the stone, he says, under the throne that Queen Elizabeth sits on in England. I don't know if Shepherd's Chapel says that, but I know for a fact that Mr. Armstrong believed that, because I remember reading it and trying to figure it out, and I figured out the reason I couldn't figure it out, because it never was right to start with. And all of the reading I did in Mr. Armstrong's books, I was so disappointed. Herb and I both read in those books extensively. And one day I wanted to make a point about Job, and he had written big articles about Job being the builder of the Great Pyramid in Egypt, quoted all these sources. And I couldn't find anything. I just searched myself silly, couldn't find anything. So I finally called Pasadena, California, and asked them straight out. I called the headquarters and asked them, and the line was silent for a little bit, and the woman said, "Well, Mr. Kendall, we don't teach everything that Mr. Armstrong used to teach." He said, "Would you like to speak to one of our pastors?" And I said, "Yes, I would." And I spoke to one of the officials in the Worldwide Church of God, which was the Armstrong Church, and he said, "Mr. Armstrong was wrong. We took that off the market." Said, "That never happened." Said, "He came out of the 1800s, and he was reading flawed sources." And there's the danger. Do you know who you're reading after? I have to tell you about this. Since I've had to deal with Parkinson's, I've gone online and read a lot of stuff. Some of it's worthless. It's just somebody's opinion. It's not actually a medical fact. It's not actually the truth. It's not actually anything. And there's any number of sources that you can tap into, not just on Parkinson's, but in lots of things, including the Bible, people's writing about the Bible, that's not the truth. It's their opinion of it. And they put it on as if it's authority. And I found out that a lot of what I used to think Mr. Armstrong researched, and he did, he read a lot. And I would think, "Oh, he researched this, and I can trust what he says because it's so well researched." And I found out that the places he was searching were flawed places. They weren't right. But he believed they were right. Because he believed they were right, he made lots of us believe they were right. And he caused people to stumble and to fall. We used to have a gentleman that came here. Some of you will remember Sam Officer. And I thought he was a tremendously intelligent man in the beginning. And he, I found out, was trying to build a oneness replica of the Church of God of Prophecy, which was where he came out of. And it was just like a rubber stamp of the Church of God of Prophecy, because that's where he had been and where he had been exposed to, but it was a oneness brand of it. And I got to listen to him, and one day he preached a sermon, and he said, he said, "I was riding down the road this week, and the revelations just poured out on me as I rode." And I thought, yeah, they did. I heard the same broadcast. And he was listening to someone else and taking it for his own. That's sad. So where was he getting his source? In the end, Brother Officer said, "Well, you couldn't baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He said you had to baptize in the name of Jesus." Then he got another revelation, said that wasn't quite right. You had to baptize in the name Jesus. You had to say it that way. Before he died, he got baptized in the name of Yahweh. So I got to examining everything, Glenn, that he had taught. It makes you question everything. Where is his source? Why does he believe that? And I have to be careful. I feel responsible when I stand up here to preach sound doctrine. I feel responsible to teach exactly what's in the book, and nothing more, nothing less. And I'm not embarrassed to say I don't understand something. Why would I be so smart that I don't understand everything that there is to know? And if you don't agree with me in all this, I'm not going to be mad at you. I don't expect everybody to agree with me all the time. Of course, it hits home to me, but he believes people who speak in tongues or babbling idiots. He believes we're just blah, 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 crazy and we're saying nothing. But I have him to know that there is a real experience of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to speak in tongues to go to heaven, but I don't know if you can go to heaven if you're fighting real hard against it either. Arnold, he believes the same thing, but he believes in oneness modalism, and it's amazing to me that he also believes that he's the exclusive end time messenger to bring the word. That's pure Gnosticism. I have the knowledge. I'm going to give you the knowledge. You're going to be smart when you get the knowledge. Till you get the knowledge that I've got, you're being left on the back burner. Now, who in the beginning said that? The serpent in the garden said to Eve, yeah, God don't want you to know everything. If God knows that if you know, then you'll be like him and you'll be as gods. In fact, that's pure Mormon teaching that one day when we die, we will be gods. That's their main thing, that as God is, we will be. As we are, God was. There's no scripture for that. But Arnold Murray believes that we will become part of the Godhead when we get there. Well, there's nothing like that in the whole scripture. I don't think you have to believe in there's going to be a rapture some way or another. Some people believe it's pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, and post-tribulation. You're not going to be lost whichever way you believe in that. But you can't deny that Jesus is coming again. And by the way, he doesn't. He believes Jesus is coming again. But the doctrine of the serpent seed and the fact that he believes that down all through the years, the people who are evil are the ones who have descended from the Kenites. Go back in the scripture and read about the Kenites. Believes they came from the Kenites. This is a form of predestination that I cannot bear. But he says, all of us, and he's very racist. He has great racial prejudice. He's terribly prejudiced, if you get down to the nitty-gritty of what he's saying. This is not to tear him down, to beat him up, or to do anything to him. This is just for us. I mean, how many things here did I just list? Well, A through M in the alphabet on my paper, did I just list that I don't really believe is the way the Word of God says it? And I obviously don't believe it's a sin to celebrate Easter and Christmas, particularly Easter, because we know when Christ resurrected from the dead. We don't know when he was born, but we know exactly when he resurrected from the dead. And I find it repugnant to think about angels coming down from heaven and having sexual intercourse with women on this earth and raising babies. I know what the scripture said about the sons of God saw the sons of men. But the more you read in that and the more you study in that, the more you realize the sons of God were Noah in that family. The men of God were taken over by the devil and by the evil people of the other realm. And to think that Mother Eve, I mean, how much intelligence and education does it take to understand? And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare a son and called his name Cain. I mean, how smart do you have to be to understand that? Even I can understand that. I went to a serpent seed church one day and went in with my Bible and offered to get up and tell them, and I was going to tell them in four-letter words what it meant. If they didn't understand what Adam knew his wife meant, I could tell them. I actually do have the brass to say that in public if I have to teach the truth. I don't ever mean to be crude or rude, but we understand that. When it says, I mean, that's like 2 plus 2 equal 4. Adam knew his wife, so what happened because of that? She conceived. When she conceived, what did she do? She bare a son. Who was her son? It was Cain. Duh. How much theology do you have to do to get through that? Well, thing of it is, they believe this. They believe because the scripture said he was of that wicked one, talking about Cain. Of course he was. And people who are out here living for the devil today are of that wicked one. And Jesus said to the people in his day and time, said, you're of your father the devil. He didn't mean he was literally their physical father. It meant they followed in the spirit of Satan. My whole point in saying this is here's a man and a church. It's just a local church, by the way, in Gravette, Arkansas, that's teaching on 200 channels, 200 TV stations in the United States, covering millions and millions and millions of people. And I've met people, several people lately, who are not going to church, but say, we study with Shepherd's Chapel. This is what we study. Sad thing of it is, they're being fed this, but they don't know. They don't know the Word. Folks, whatever you do, get a working knowledge of this. Get a working knowledge of the Word of God. Don't be deceived. When people come to your door, and see, my point to start with, you know, when the Mormon boys walk up with their Bibles, bells start ringing, ding, 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 ding. When the Jehovah's Witnesses walk up with a watchtower, bells start ringing, ding, 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 ding. But when you're sitting in your house and preacher after preacher after preacher comes on, the bells don't always ring, do they? And you've let them in your house, even though you haven't opened the door. Now, we used to play a bad trick at our house, especially when Grandma Marshall was living at Mother's. When we saw the Mormon boys come to the door, we sent Grandma to answer the door. We didn't tell her who was there. We just sent Grandma Marshall to answer the door. And one day we got so tickled, she went to the door and they started talking to her about the Lord. And she said, oh, yes, yes, I go to the Holiness Church over here in Clendenin and I've got the Holy Ghost. And starts, she, well, you know, Grandma. She just starts praising God and shouting and talking in tongues. And the boys are going, you know. And we're sitting back in our easy chairs laughing because Grandma's just witnessing up a storm and she don't know a thing. She's just happy somebody wants to talk about Jesus. She don't know who they are. She don't know what they are. She's just there. And I don't mean this to put down anybody or to be mean to anybody or to be ugly to anybody. But I do mean it to teach us people to be careful what we believe, to be careful who influences what we believe and where they get their knowledge, quote unquote, and where they get their studying. In fact is, Mr. Murray calls himself Dr. Murray, and that's not the truth. He doesn't have a PhD in theology. But that's okay. You don't have to have a PhD in theology to know the truth and to teach it. I don't have a PhD in theology and don't care whether I do or not. And you don't have to read Greek and Hebrew to be able to understand the Bible. But you do have to approach the Bible with an open mind and read the scriptures for what they say and be willing to accept what they say. But I tell you what you can't do. You can't just grab one verse out of here and run with it without cross-referencing it with every other scripture in the Bible, so that you understand what it means. Because much of what Jesus said to the apostles, I wait until I see how the apostles did it before I come to an understanding of it. And I want to be right. Amen? And I want to teach correct and sound doctrine. Amen? All right, let's sing. Would you stand as we sing Sanctuary tonight? been blessed tonight. Hope you've been open to hear the Word of God. And as you go out tonight and into the world, you're going to be eating spiritual food. Somebody's, somewhere, some way. Be careful what you eat. Be careful that what you eat is the Word of God and agrees with the Word of God and is part of the Word of God. And be careful that you stick to the Word pure and simple. That's called sound doctrine. Amen. Pray for me. I got a big week ahead. Within the last 5 or 6 days, I've preached as many as 5 funerals already. And I'm thankful. The anointing comes and the Spirit moves and I'm able to say what I need to say, and I'm thankful for that. And then and then I look down the road and I see the next one coming. I say, God, how am I going to say this? What am I going to do? What's going to happen? Well, I just have to depend on Him to show up. And I'm thankful when He does. Amen. So I covet your prayers and do pray for Fern that the Lord will let her feel better. And come out this weekend expecting God to do. Well, didn't we have a great weekend this past weekend? Amen. So let's look forward to God moving this weekend. Father, we thank you for the service, for the fellowship of your Spirit, for the power of your grace. And pray, Lord, that you'll bless your people and sanctify them and use them to your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.